Do you ever feel lonely and disconnected? Find out, because of God's grace, that you never have to be alone.
I'd like to talk to you today about the curse of loneliness and where do you go with those feelings of being disconnected and isolated. This is a big deal, and it's connected to your personal feeling of relationship with your God. If you're feeling distant from God, it's going to have a terrible impact on all your other relationships as well, and you're going to feel like an outsider. You're not going to like yourself, and without that self-confidence, you're going to suspect that the people around you think you're an idiot and a dope and lame and a loser, and you're going to withdraw. And unfortunately, social media and gaming and television and all the other video toys available to us allow you to have the illusion of connectedness, but it's only an illusion because there won't be any real people, relationships in your life anymore. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Others of you who feel still pretty people connected, now, I hope, have some ideas or thoughts or impulses to be alert for this kind of stuff and for the hurt that's being done to people's lives and the people around you. I'd like to invite you to dig into Scripture with me today, and I'd like to go to Psalm 68 with you, because God cares about disconnected people too. Satan, after all, is the ultimate disconnector. He's like a terrorist who goes around with a wire-cutting pliers, trying to cut and snip the connections between you and God. And because nobody loves him, there is no love in hell. There's no relationships in hell. There's only just a gigantic warehouse of angry, cheated people who are full of blame on everybody else and sometimes on themselves as well. And since Satan has no love, nobody likes him one bit, he is trying to destroy the exchange and flow of love between you and your God and between you and other people. So you have an enemy trying to destroy this really precious part of who you are. God doesn't want to let that happen, and he's engaged. Let's take a look at it. It's a little too much for us to read through all the way. It's got 35 kind of sturdy verses, and I invite you to read the whole psalm later today. Remember, read it slow. Don't go fast through this. Just take your time with it. And I'd like to read just two stanzas of this amazing psalm with you. It's a psalm of David. Now, you might think that David has no idea what loneliness is like. He was always surrounded by people. Even when he was on the run for his life after King Saul was trying to kill him, he still had his merry little posse with him, David's little mighty band who would hide in caves and kind of like Robin Hood type adventures. It was a horrible way to live, but at least he was not alone. He was sharing the experience. David, though, knew the pangs of feeling isolated and disconnected, though, too, and he's talking about himself. I'd like to read the two verses together with you, starting at verse 4. One stanza begins at verse 4, and one stanza begins at verse 7. Let's take a look. He says in this second stanza of Psalm 68, "Sing to God, sing praise to his name. Extol him." To extol is Latin talk. That means to lift up way up high, get it up in the air so people can see, and lift him up to show that you are acknowledging him to be greater than you. He rides on the clouds. Long before there were airplanes, David knew that God could cruise over all things. He was not limited by one step at a time the way we are. His name is the Lord. And when it's spelled in capital letters like this, that is a reference to God's proper name in Hebrew, Yahweh, which means the Lord who is rock steady in his purposes, the Lord who loves people, the Lord who never quits, never lies, and who will overcome, and who has a master plan that he is relentless in pursuing. That's whom we are praising. His name is Yahweh, the Lord. Rejoice before him. Why? And look at the things that are mentioned. You might think that David might talk about the reconciliation of sinners with a holy God, and indeed he will. Later in the poem, he does. But he talks about four beautiful things that shows that God cares about people who are struggling in their lives. He cares for people who are small and broken. In relationships with God, it's not this big competition where you and I got to compete for his attention, and he only hands out blue ribbons to the super achievers and all the rest. He goes, nice try, Sonny. Now beat it. Try again next time. He has a special, tender heart from everybody who has been wounded by the evil one. Jesus himself, on the edge of performing a spectacular resurrection miracle at the grave of Lazarus, broke into tears. You know why? Because it hurt him to see people hurt. When we hurt, he hurts. He didn't say, hey, everybody, quit crying, watch this. Like all pumped full of what he was about to do. He indeed knew what he was about to do. But first, he had to give rise to his and give expression to his own grief, because he's sad when his people are sad. When we hurt, he hurts. Does God feel things? Absolutely, he does. And here are four kinds of people whose life situations hurt God's heart. Verse 5 says, God is a father to the fatherless. Missing, lacking a father as you're growing up is a terrible blow to any child. Sure is no treat to the children's mother, but at least she's an adult and has a few more tools to handle it. The children are devastated. A boy needs a dad to look up to and show him how to become a man, how to think like a man, how to act with respect, how to learn how to work, how to handle money, how to treat women properly and respectfully. A girl needs a daddy so that she won't be vulnerable to trying to find approval and affection for herself and throw herself around on the streets trying to make up for that lack at home. A girl needs a daddy to make her feel like a princess, precious, valuable, beautiful, and safe. And only bad things happen when that important figure would disappear from her life. God says, I'm going to be a father to the fatherless. I'm going to help compensate people who are missing this important thing. He's a defender of widows. It's no treat being a widow today. Suddenly, you're thrown into having to fend for yourself after having been part of a partnership for many years. And I have never yet found a widow that really loved being a widow. It's hard. It is a hard life, even today. And we surround widows today with all kinds of support services like Social Security and all kinds of other safety net benefit programs that make sure that you don't fall into the cracks. Back then, there was nothing like that. If your husband died, you were in for it. And you were going to basically be in a struggle for survival, and you hoped you had some family that would help to take care of you, especially as your body aged and you got frail. God says, I will defend widows. I will look after them and help them, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. Now you might think, well, man, being lonely is nothing as bad as having your father run away from the family or be killed in battle. Or it can't be anywhere near as bad as having your husband die. But it's listed here in a list of major life disasters. God thinks this is a big deal. It hurts me when my children drag themselves around from day to day, feeling disconnected and lonely. Loneliness is a soul destroyer. It grinds up your spirit, and it makes you not like yourself very much. You wonder, what's wrong with me? And the more dysfunctional you feel around people, it makes you want to withdraw even more. And you can pretend that you have friends by looking at Facebook. You can pretend you're involved in people's lives by watching sitcoms and imagining stuff. But all that does is you retreat from the real world and leave you even lonelier and more isolated. God says, I am going to get involved in the lives of lonely people. And David said, I've now lived long enough to see this happen. God reaches out to lonely people, intervenes in their lives, and connects them with people to give them a shot to compensate for what they're missing. And a fourth category, he leads forth prisoners with singing. In other words, he springs people who have been imprisoned, either rightly or wrongly, and he brings about release so that they get their freedom back. God cares for incarcerated people too. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You'd think, oh man, anybody in jail deserves to be there. God says they're people too. And their imprisonment, their incarceration is crushing their spirit. It gives me pleasure to help bring about their freedom. Capping all this, God's driver in all this. Now here's just one little verse halfway to the end of the psalm I gotta celebrate with you too. Verses 19 and 20 says an astonishing thing. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Wow. I don't blame you. If you would have thought 10 minutes ago when I started talking to you about loneliness, you probably figured I was going to start woofing at you, especially the people who feel lonely, like, hey, get off of that couch. Come on, get out of that chair. Go out and be with people and put it all on you. Like, come on, why don't you clean yourself up? Why don't you fix yourself? And I'm not saying that. I'm celebrating with you the jaw-dropping proposition that your relationship with your God invites his engagement into your life, not only to have sent his son to suffer and die for you, which is, of course, the key to all of our relationship with him, but it's even more than that. As grand as that is, he daily bears our burdens. How awesome is that? When you pray, Lord, I'm struggling with feeling lonely. I've lost friends. People I loved move away, or they've dumped me, or they've unfriended me on Facebook. What could be worse than that, right? When you've been unfriended on Facebook, that's like being excommunicated from your church. Like you go into your own personal leper colony. Like, ooh, that's a hard blow to be unfriended, isn't it? That's like you've been declared Typhoid Mary and they want to have nothing to do with you. That's a blow. People get really upset about that. It's a hard blow to your self-worth to be unfriended by somebody. You think, what's wrong with me? God says, come back to me and find worth in me, because I will help you bear your burdens. I will be strong when you are weak. I will help keep you on a path when you are grinding to a halt and you're stalled in your life. I'll help you bear your burdens. Our God is a God who saves. He doesn't just judge. The gospel trumps law. Mercy trumps judgment. And his final word to you is not, what an idiot, go to hell. His final word to you is, I love you. His final word to you is, I save people. I want to save you too. And I'm saving you not just to become my personal slaves or attendants, although that would be cool enough. I sure would rather be a slave in heaven than a free man in hell, wouldn't you? Yeah, I think so. But it's better than that. I'm involved in your life to make it better. Our God is a God who saves people. He takes the initiative and intervenes and is engaged in our lives. Our God saves. It's from the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. If he gives us that immense victory over Satan and the grave and death and hell itself, giving us joy and confidence to go into Judgment Day, he'll give us the littler things too, and that includes taking the lonely and setting them in families. Now, we could dig into these four powerful things that God does. How does God get involved in the lives of fatherless people to compensate for the ache of their missing dad? How does God get involved in the life of a grieving older woman who is now grieving and afraid because her partner and her helper has died on her first? What does God do to spring prisoners free? And how does he deal with the fact that some prisoners are in there because of things they have done? We could dig more deeply into all those, but I would just like to spend our last couple of minutes savoring with you the fact that if you feel lonely and disconnected in your life, you're not struggling alone. Your God sees you. He hears your groans. He feels your sighs and your disconnectedness. And he is getting involved in your life first. So how does that happen? He first of all whispers and speaks his words to you so that you can see value in yourself once again. One of the worst disconnectors is when you feel like you got nothing to give, and the reason nobody wants to be with you is you got nothing. You bring no value to anybody else. And it's a self-perpetuating cycle where you start feeling like, I'm worthless, I'm useless, and you shrink back more and more. And God says, total lies from hell. You're valuable and precious to me. You've got gifts. I made a genius when I made you. I made a beautiful piece of work. You are a masterpiece. You have a unique set of gifts that I created for the world. And around you in your world are different needs that only you can meet. You are like a beautiful puzzle piece, and the picture will not be complete unless you are in it. And if you withdraw and you hang off, you jump off the table where all the puzzle pieces are, we'll never have a full picture. God also wants you to know you should never say things like, well, nuts with them then. I don't need people. I don't need anybody else. I'm fine all by myself. I've been miserable alone, and I've been miserable with people. I might as well be miserable alone. That's self-defeating talk from hell. Don't ever allow anybody in your life to say, I don't need other people. Yes, we do. We are made like interlocking. We are made to need each other. We're made with surpluses of some things, and we're made with terrible lacks and weaknesses in other things. And we only find that fullness when we bond together with other people. Don't let Satan steal your joy. Look around you at the people in your life, and instead of seeing their flaws or assuming they're judging you, try to play a little game with yourself. I wonder why God sent that woman into my life. I wonder why God sent that man in my life. What's his value proposition here? What is God trying to do? And it allows you to focus on positive things rather than assuming the worst. It allows you to look at what people bring instead of fearing that they're judging you or somehow think you're worthless. God loves to use people. In the book of Hebrews, the writer in chapter 10 said, don't quit going to church. God invented congregations. You can read the word in your home, true enough. It's not as though a worshiping congregation is your only source of the word. You can indeed read it. But the whole you is not going to be healthy if your Christianity is so private and self-contained, you're not connected with anybody else. Enjoy your relationships with people. And what you're doing right now, if you're with me in this room or if you happen to be watching on television, don't stop assembling yourselves together, but rather encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You might fear, if you want to hide, you might fear that somebody's going to criticize you again. But if you withdraw from being with people, you also take away their ability to say thank you to you for things that you have done, or to praise you for some quality that you have, or to show appreciation for some way in which you have brought value into their life. And that will stoke you up and give you strength to stand a little taller and a little straighter. It also, if you withdraw, it also takes away your ability to share some encouragement with somebody who's maybe even more broken than you are. None of us is 100%. We're all broken. And God works with that, and he's fine with that because he puts us together to take care of each other, because we cannot completely self-heal. So we need one another. Don't ever let yourself or anybody you know say things like, I guess I don't really need people. I can read about them on Facebook. Well, Facebook is fine, and if you have fun with that, have fun with it. But it is no substitute for real friends. God sets the lonely in families. Appreciate the ones you have by birth. Families are under such stress today, maybe worse than ever. There are more people on medications now for their mental health. America leads the world. We consume enormous quantities of mood-altering medications because we think we need to. Families are under terrible stress. The people groups that you and I belong to, our church, but also community groups as well, help people navigate the stress that just seems to be increasing as our Our world keeps changing at a faster and faster pace. There used to be a wonderful group in this congregation called the Women's Service Guild. It was like our ladies' aid. It went away. You know what else is going away? All of the community groups that for the past several generations have built the infrastructure of human care in our country. The Lions Club, the Kiwanis Club, the Rotary Clubs used to be associations with millions of members that would volunteer their time to help communities take care of people. If you're big into lodges, you might have noticed that the Eagle, you know, the animal clubs like the Eagles Club, the Elks and the Masons, these fraternal societies, even though they were secret societies, their numbers are just completely disintegrated. Hardly anybody wants to be a Shriner anymore. Their numbers are nothing to what they were in the 1920s. In our country, I think one of the things causing our stress is we just aren't joiners. In 1995, and then published in the year 2000, a Harvard researcher named Robert Putnam wrote a book called Bowling Alone. And he said, it's the craziest thing. There still seems to be enough business to keep bowling alleys going, but the leagues, the bowling leagues have collapsed because people go and bowl all by themselves. Isn't that crazy? Do you believe it? Do you ever bowl? I bet you're not in a league. Now, maybe all of these social organizations like the Scouts and the Brownies and all these different kinds of organizations that people's card clubs they used to play in, maybe they're disintegrating. Maybe they're being replaced by something else. But if so, I haven't seen it. And I do know that digital media is consuming more and more of people's time. You know what's the total time, the average time that the average American spends on digital media every day? Do you want to take a guess? How many of you think it's less than an hour a day? This is the average. Nope, I'm seeing a lot of head shakes. All right, less than 2 hours. Nope. Uh-oh, you're smart. Maybe you're part of the problem. I'm seeing you vigorously shake your head. Okay, 3 hours or less. 5.5 hours a day. I'm not making this up. I wouldn't have dared to pick a number that high. 5.5 hours of staring into a screen, usually the little one. Got to be careful with that. So let's kind of wrap this all up. Cherish your relationship with your God. Enjoying God sets you free to enjoy people. It helps you be patient. It helps you be open and welcoming to the things people say to you and not be hyper and jumpy and not be judgmental of others. Enjoying your relationship with God will help you enjoy your relationship with other people. Be careful of getting sucked overly into too much digital stuff because it will eat up time that you no longer then feel you have to actually have real relationships. Call on God and pray to Him if you feel lonely to set you in a people group that will bring you some joy and affirm you. And then pay attention and watch because He will keep that promise. Take this promise to the bank and insist that God keep that promise to you. But also, be alert and aware of the grieving, struggling, lonely people around you and be willing to spend some of your energy and time to let God use you as His instrument to set the lonely in families. This is good news from God's Word that He cares that much about us to get involved that much in our lives. This is good news for God's people. Everybody say, Amen.
Don't you love what Pastor Jeske reminded us about God's love? The Psalms are so beautiful and so emotional, especially that incredible line that says, the God that we worship is a God who daily bears our burdens. Maybe you're struggling with loneliness because people don't have time for you, but God, every single day, always has time. He's the eternal God who is outside of time. Therefore, He always has time for your burdens, your struggles, your loneliness, and He promises that He will be with you always. Let's take great comfort in that. And I'll be back with you in a moment to pray.
As believers, we're called to go and make disciples of all nations for Jesus Christ. Today, you can help make that happen with your gift to translate Time of Grace resources into a wide variety of languages like Mandarin, Bulgarian, Ukrainian, and more. When you support these efforts, you're helping people like Kim. She's a teenager in the Philippines who wrote in to say, "You've helped me grow in my faith, and your videos have pushed me to fight for my love for God despite the many temptations in this world." I hope you realize how important your videos are for teenagers like me. We need guidance and enlightenment now more than ever. When you give today, your donation will be worth twice as much because of a $50,000 challenge grant. So call now to give help to more people to find freedom in God's grace. 1-800-661-3311.
We here at Time of Grace are so grateful, not just for God's grace, but the community that's rallied around that beautiful message. For all of you who pray, for all of you who comment, for all of you who are part of our ministry, we are so grateful that we don't have to follow Jesus alone, but as an incredible community. I would love for you to join me then in a prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for your promise that you are the God who is present everywhere, which means you're present right here with us. We pray especially for all those who are struggling with loneliness, with depression, and with anxiety. We pray that you would remind them of your incredible presence, that because Jesus promised that he would be with us always, we are never alone, no matter how we feel. At the same time, God, we pray for grace on top of grace, that you would give friends and brothers and sisters in the faith and family so that we know physically that we don't have to be alone. Help us to turn to your presence and to find such comfort to know that no matter how we feel, no matter what our hearts tell us, because of you, loneliness is something that can be part of our past and not our future. We thank you for hearing this prayer because you are right here with us as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With Time of Grace, I'm Pastor Mike Novotny, and thanks to God's love, it all starts now.
You know, when I was approached 18 years ago about doing this program, I really wasn't sure what was going to happen. But look at the blessings God has given to us in this ministry. We now broadcast in all 210 television markets across the United States, as well as internationally. We have apps, an interactive website, more and more print publications every month, and we have the Your Time of Grace videos that are so popular. I'd say our big dream has come a long way. But I believe our best days are still to come, and I've decided that after Easter Sunday of 2019, I will be transitioning out of the lead speaker for this program. But don't worry, I'm not leaving Time of Grace. In fact, I'll be focusing my efforts on helping to transition to Pastor Mike Novotny in his new role as our lead speaker. Pastor Mike is a stellar and talented pastor who adheres to the same messages of spiritual growth and renewal that we've been proclaiming all along. You've seen him here as a host of this program and as a guest speaker. I'm so excited for the amazing things that I know God is going to do through Time of Grace today and tomorrow. And I look forward to sharing more with you about this transition in months to come.
It all starts now. It all starts now. Time of Grace. It all starts now.
The preceding program was brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.